Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Well, hi, we're back for part two of our Chasing the Word series on the book of John. We're calling it the Dynamic Gospel.
This is going to be the long haul for us because there's so much meat in the book of John that it's going to take us a while to get through this. So I do hope that our listeners will stick with us on this and will chew on this meat with us.
It is meat. It's not just milk, as Paul would say. There's so much here that we can camp on because, as we talked about in our first program, this is about a real relationship, about a real person who didn't just know the Word of God. Mm-hmm. He was the Word of God, Is the Word of God, always will be the Word, the full expression of God Himself. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have such a hard time getting our hearts and minds around this. But if we spend just a little time allowing God to kind of pop that mystery into us and really wrestle with the fact that this is almost impossible to comprehend. Mm-hmm. And frankly, without God Himself, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
So we're saying an impossible thing. That's fair to say. Anybody who's looking at the Word of God from the outside doesn't believe that it really is the Word of God or that the Word of God can become flesh is going to say, you're whacked. This is not something that's reasonable. We agree with you. So if you're listening to us today and then reading the book along with us as we talk about it, as we share from our experience, as we try to teach you some of the basics of these words and these phrases and these meanings and why it means so much to the church, we say, welcome aboard, friends. Mm-hmm. This is not something to be scared of. It's something to be deeply feared in the sense of respect. Mm-hmm. It's not just a story. This is very much meant to be written, carved, tattooed onto your heart as much as it was for John.
Well, there's so much nuance in the language that John uses as well, and turns of phrase and things that, honestly, I don't understand because they're not culturally relevant to me. Mm-hmm. And so digging into this has been interesting because there's things that John says that maybe we interpret one way in our culture, in our theological background we have. But John, he didn't have all the different ideas of denomination when he was writing this. Yeah. This is his experience with Logos, with the Word, with the Son. And it's a personal experience.
In the years he's writing this book, the Christians, they were only known as people of the way. Mm-hmm. It was just one stripe, one color of what was happening within the Jewish community. But he strips most of that away for the benefit of those who were outside that didn't know what the people were looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And frankly, didn't have the baggage.
Exactly.
So when you're looking for the Messiah and everything you expect of the Messiah has been colored by and told to you by teachers who are deducing from what they read, and you accept the teachings across the centuries as much as the Word itself, or maybe even more so, you're in danger of missing it altogether. Mm-hmm. Because this is meant to be a first-person experience with the living God. Mm-hmm. The Messiah wasn't going to be just a political conqueror, although that's what they were looking for.
Right.
And we find out over the years to come, God didn't intend that.
Right.
In fact, He intended for the entire world to know Him in the first person. And that was really, really, really hard for those who had a whole set of expectations. John strips away all of that baggage and says, okay, you people that didn't know there was a God, didn't know He was even light, didn't know that there was a Word written, well, guess what? I'm going to lead you there, and I'll be fair. I'll be an honest broker for you so you can experience what I experienced. Mm-hmm. And I'll use language that is familiar to you.
Yeah.
So he made it very contemporary in that regard. Yes, we look back across centuries and say, oh, it doesn't fit my politics exactly. It doesn't fit my culture exactly. It is a bit different. It is 2,000 years ago, after all. That does not mean that John did not try and that God cannot make it possible for us to really get into it like John did. Mm-hmm. He can, and He wants us to. That's why we're digging into the study this way.
Well, that's the power of the living Word.
And of course, we're taking small sections right now because this is the preamble to the entire book. This first section, John 1, 1 through 18, is the prologue. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it jumps right into action scenes. And we'll talk about John the Baptist in the next program. But we're going to finish up this prologue section in program 2 on those next 7 verses that help us understand why we're doing this. We'll go ahead and read from the Holman Christian Standard again for us.
I'm going to jump back to verse 11 because it will make a little more sense. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me, because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed the Father."
He's setting up a big mystery there, a riddle, a puzzle. Kind of like Solomon giving his parables that he did, but there was mysteries within a mystery. Or even looking back to the Judges, where you had Samson talking about having tasted the honey from a honeycomb that was actually growing inside the ribcage of a lion that had died at some time. You know, there are all kinds of examples in the Word of people, and even God himself delighting in creating a riddle. Solomon himself says, "It is the glory of God to encapsulate the truth and hide it within mysteries. It is the glory of a king to seek them out and understand them and unravel them. It's the glory of both to enjoy the process." The King of the universe is putting these mysteries of who Jesus is right in front of us in this book of John. He expects us to unpack this and not just gloss over. You got to wrestle with this. This is somebody who doesn't make sense within our system. He never has. And yet he defines us and gives us our anchor in him so that the system around us doesn't compel us to follow it, but is brought into true focus by that light of truth. Jesus is showing us the world for how it is simply by being here, simply by living the life he lives, and by giving that life freely to us. It changes everything. We don't look at the world anymore as something we want to join or to be powerful in, but to sense the power of him himself, no matter who the powers are in this world, no matter which way the elections go or don't go according to our preferences, no matter what happens with economics around the world, whatever happens in our generation with technology or other changes or big life-altering things that happen within our generations, we are anchored in him because he is eternal, and he says, "I'm your king." So let us dig into this together and discover truth together.
Again, I want to highlight how John shines this light in a different direction, away from the Jewish culture in Lotte, because he says in verse 12 and 13, this is not something that you earn because of your birthright. This is not to those who are born of blood. An interesting side note here is that in this verse 13, this is the only place in the New Testament that the plural form of blood or bloods is used, which I thought that's interesting, and I don't know why. It's like that. But the commentary was saying it could refer to your ancestral lineage, your bloodline, basically. Or it could refer to the sacrificial blood of the Old Testament.
What the blood was capable of doing.
Right.
Yeah, its purpose.
But John is saying that neither of these things are the basis for your birth into the family of God. That your bloodline or the sacrificial blood, those things are not the basis of your entrance into the family of God.
But as we get deeper into the story of Jesus, we discover, like we talk about in our doctrine now, that it was the blood of Jesus, because he stands apart from humanity, but within it at the same time, that truly transforms. There's something special about the sacrifice he will make of himself in our place that does change things. So it's a different kind of blood.
Right.
It is not sinful blood. It's not merely natural blood. It's not a symbolic or stand-in kind of blood like a sacrificial lamb would be. He's not just a sacrificial lamb. He is the Lamb of God.
Right.
Not just a lamb who was sacrificed.
Well, John goes on to really drive that point in. He said it's not of blood, not of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. So there's nothing in our own humanness that can birth us into the kingdom of God or the family of God. No matter what education we have or how learned we are in the ways of God or the ways of the world, or no matter even that it's our will that we want it. It is God's will. It is God drawing us into him.
Like Paul, in his famous phrasings explaining this to the Gentiles, would say, this is not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God. It can't come from us because we're made of the wrong stuff, at least to start out with. And that does go to the idea of the original sin thing. Whether we like it or not, there's something about the state of the world we're born into and wake up to as we grow older that says, you know what? Something's just not completely right here. And no matter how hard I try, it doesn't seem to ever quite get there. I do think in some ways God allowed that to be perceived by us enough that we would sense our need for him. And we do need him. Intellectually, we can say that without God, you know, it'd be nothing to be sunlike because he would have created the universe. But beyond just our immediate needs to survive in this time, there's something about meaning, mm-hmm. what it means to be human,
yeah.
what it means to relate to a God who created us, that he puts that longing in our heart, an imperfection there that we sense compared to him, mm-hmm. something's off. And he uses it, he intended to use that to turn our needle toward him. So we would seek him out and we would find ourselves truly in him. Mm-hmm. And that for me is the whole idea of why is there even that discord, that dissonance? Because if we were unable to perceive it, we would never go toward him.
Right.
We would always worship ourselves. And we know when we see that happen in people's lives, when they become self-obsessed, the narcissism that grows within us, it's deadly.
Right.
And it puts us far from God. So obviously God has to not just recognize our state, but put something in us, the pain principle, that you stop doing things that harm yourself when you feel pain.
Yeah.
There's emotional and there's spiritual pain too, when we realize that we're not functioning as we know somehow we're intended to.
Mm-hmm.
We sense it, and so we're drawn towards God.
I like that. It's not something that we can do or we can conjure up on our own. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be God himself. Yeah.
Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how he is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of his kingdom, wherever it is to be found. In a couple months, I will have been in this chair before this microphone for 4 of those 78 years. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. I could not have imagined how many momentous changes were hiding right around the corner when I said yes to this job. Even now, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's also fair to say that it's brought about challenges that have tried the very fabric of my faith. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. Here's the challenge before us in 2021. We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Once international travel opens back up, we'll need to have raised an additional $100,000 above our current giving in order to go and to give. For 78 years, when we face a challenge like this, we've done two things. One, we ask God what he wants. And two, we tell our friends what we need. Today, we're doing both. God is opening doors to see what he's doing in currently closed countries and to join that work. I'm saying yes. And now I'm sharing the specific need with you so you can say yes, too. And there are still thousands of Bibles we still need to send through our friends at Bibles for the World. It is essential that we raise this new amount of $100,000 this quarter, or we can't proceed with any new outreach and relief programs. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift. If you can, consider making it monthly. I'll be glad to send you a brand new Amazon Echo Dot or Google Home Mini so you can follow our progress each day and hear the Compassion Radio broadcast whenever is the best time for you. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the Book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series. Well, we wrapped up the last section of the program talking about the pain principle, God bending our hearts back toward him. You had a thought as we were finishing up that discussion.
Well, I like that God himself puts something in us to draw us to him, that we can't do it on our own. We can't conjure that up, no matter what we want to do, no matter what we think we can do. I mean, Paul says it so eloquently, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do.
And keep doing.
And keep doing. You know, it's craziness, this body of flesh that just weighs on me.
Body of death, even called.
Body of death. Yeah. So I like that John is saying here, listen, this is a God thing. Mm-hmm. And God's pursuing you because he's that good. He loves you that much.
We've talked earlier before about the exile of the Jews going to the foreign lands and how God indicts them for their sins, saying, I crushed you. I took away your crops. I I gave you droughts and everything, and you still wouldn't turn to me.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to us from our worldly perspective that, like, well, if you did that to your people, why would they want to come to you?
Yeah.
But it wasn't because of those things that they were angry at God. They had already decided to go against him because things were so good.
Right.
There was no pain in their lives anymore. They thought they were all that in a bag of chips and had gone away from God and worshiped other gods because they saw no consequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just throw parties and have all kinds of weird celebrations and bacchanals and worship the seasons and the moon and the earth and all the things made by God and forget God himself. No consequence. Just live your life.
Mm-hmm.
So God had to start stripping away those things to show himself to be powerful again, to be authoritative. And then he says through his prophets, especially Jeremiah, even then you wouldn't turn back to me and recognize that I have the authority, mm-hmm. that I am the God that made you, that I'm the one that's worth worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And sometimes discipline seems harsh.
Yeah.
God's mercies often seem excruciating because we only see it from the perspective of our disobedient selves, mm-hmm. our entitled selves, the ones that don't want to follow him. There's enough pain in this world that when Jesus entered into this in this story, as John is telling us, he stepped into all of that.
Right.
He didn't wait for us to get our lives straightened up or fix the problem so he could come. He came because we couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And we know across the centuries, he's still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He steps in because we can't get out. And he intended it that way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That we would have that place where we could no longer punch through on our own strength. We couldn't be our own gods anymore.
I love the picture that that brings up in my mind, that Jesus comes into the mess and sits with us and lives with us in that mess. And in his own tender way often, and for me, he shows me a path forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the brightest lamp in the room sometimes, and it takes me a while to see those things. Often I'll sit in my misery until I cry out in exasperation. And then I realize oftentimes that Jesus is there with me in that. And he's saying, I'm here. I've been here with you. And I really am holding you through this. And this is a beautiful way. You know, John is saying this is the world that he stepped into. He stepped into the darkness and the darkness didn't understand it. We talked about that last week. It was so incomprehensible that this light would come into the world that people didn't even realize it. They didn't know who they were having relationship with. They didn't know who had come. They didn't recognize him. And we just have to be willing to open our eyes, take our focus off of ourselves,
and to face the pain of having to see things with bright light again. I mean,
yeah.
That adjustment from having lived in darkness to being suddenly flooded with light
mm-hmm.
is not easy. Think of the time when you're trying to do a family picture out in the sunlight. Okay, everyone heads down on the count of three, look up quick, and you get the picture while their eyes are all open because it's painful to look where the light is.
Right.
Let's read it through now in the new translation we're working from, which is the Dynamic Gospel. It's available to our Compassion Radio listeners on our website, and you'll see those links there when you go to see the podcasts. It's also a Bible study, chapter by chapter, and I'd love to have you all download that and have a few key questions that you might be able to follow up in your own reading of the Word and discover more things about the book of John than you ever thought might be there. That's what the whole purpose of this series is. So here goes John chapter 1, verse 11 from the Dynamic Gospel. He came to the people that should have recognized him, but the nation built on his own book turned its back instead. Yet there were still individuals who heard the message and accepted it without reservation, putting their complete faith in him. Because he was God wearing flesh, he had the right to adopt them into God's eternal family. These faithful followers did not become God's children by some special circumstance of birth or superior moral character. They were adopted by God unconditionally. And in this way, they were born into a new life. So, we can say with confidence, God the Word dressed himself in a body just like ours and lived with us, walking our streets and eating our food. And even clothed in flesh, there was no mistaking his powerful authority. It was just as the written word told us it would be, the magnificent Son of our Heavenly Father right here among us, full of the truth that transforms and the powerful riches of God which he gladly bestowed on anyone who asked. When the light began to shine, John pointed him out, calling loudly, "He's the one! I may have preceded him here, but he was always ahead of me. Anything he says trumps me." When we're near the sun, one good thing follows after another. It couldn't be otherwise. It's his nature to be a true gift giver. God laid down the law through Moses, but the power to understand and live it came through the Son of God. His name? Jesus. One might say there's no way to see God. Up till now, that's been the case. But now, God chose to reveal himself in his Son. He is in very nature and power the same as his Father. They are one.
Looking back up at verse 14, it seems like John is saying, listen, I've already told you this back in verse 1 and 2. This is the Word. The Word of God is flesh now, and he's full of humanity. He is completely human, but he's without sin. He is still God. John is shouting here.
Yes,
about,
he is.
This is, listen, people, this is what I'm trying to get across to you.
I see him dancing around, right? Preaching this.
Right.
Like, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, and I can't stop saying this. It's him.
Right.
He is the Word.
Right.
And I can see him in his little sandals and his rags on top of Patmos dancing around the hill up there before his great revelations. I mean, the guy was in the Spirit constantly. Mm. So everything about his life as a grown man into his old years were fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. The man knew how to praise and dance and worship while he's writing. You know, this story, the way he's writing it right now, is dynamic. That's why we titled the book that way.
Yeah.
And that closes off the prologue of this part of John. We're going to move on to the actual action scenes after this as we get deeper into the story of John 1 next week on Compassion Radio.
Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, and beauty glorified. Angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye, a mystery so bright, yeah. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drives. A music, but it's own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the matchless king through all eternity. Yeah. A crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of peace. Our scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no wind, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, the fragrance of the sweet. Ever sweet. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drives, a music but it's old. Oh, awake my soul and sing. Hail the master's king through all eternity. Yeah. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time. Creator of the rolling spheres, an ethically sublime. Oh, hail Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Grace shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us in 2021. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We've got some great gifts as a thank you for joining us in this adventure. Just ask about them when you call. We'll see you tomorrow.